Jai Guru Dhamma Kunya Vihari. Gopi jana balabat vidibharadhante.
Gopi jana
balabat vidibharadhante. Asura Nandana Raja Jana Nandana Asura Nandana Raja Jana Nandana Asura Tera Manachare Ramuna Tera Manachare Jai Guru Madhuva Kunja Vihare Jai Radha Kunja Vihare Ijana Balaba Idibaruna Ijana Balaba Idibaruna Asura Nandana Raja Jana Nandana Asura Nandana Raja Jana Nandana Asura Nandana Raja Yamuna Tera Manachare Ayurāduva Duva Kunja Vihare Ayurāduva Duva Kunja Vihare Jai Om Vishnu Pad Panahangsa Paravidakacharya Ot Tarasatashi Shimad. His Divine Grace of Ayachanna Bhaktivananda Goswami Mahashila Prabhupad Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Shila Prabhupad Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrindi Ki Jai Namacharya Shila Huidas Thakur Ki Jai Premse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopakavata Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturadam Ki Jai Navadipnam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yumanamai Kajai, Shimali Lassi Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Bol. All glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shri Prabhupada Kajai. So, reading from third canto, chapter 1, text 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Raja Vacha Akutra Satur Bhagavata Maitreyena Sa Sangamaha Kada Va saha sangvada etad varniha na prabho rajovacha kutra kshatur bhagavata matriyena sa sangamaha Dava saha samvada etad varnaya na prabho rajo vacha kutra chatur bhagavata maitreyena sa sangamaha Dava saha sangvada Etad varnaya na prabho Rajo vacha Kutra chaktur bhagavata Martreyena sa sangamaha Kadava saha sangvada Etad varnaya nakrabho. Okay, anyone want to try?
Kutra shatur bhagavata
Kutra shatur bhagavata
Maitreyena sa sangama
Maitreyena sa sangama
Kadava saha sangvada Etad varnayana prabha Kutra kshatur bhagavata
Kutra kshatur bhagavata
Maitreyena sa sangamaha
Maitreyena sa sangamaha
Kadava saha sambhada
Kadava saha sambhada
Etad varnayana prabha
Very good. Where's your brother?
He's got athletics this morning.
Athletics. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyone else? No. Rajo Vacha. The king said. Kutra. Wherein? Kshatuhu.
With Vidura.
Bhagavata. And with his grace. Maitreyena.
With Maitreya.
Asa. There was. Sangamaha.
Meeting.
Kada. When. Va.
Also.
Saha. With. Sangvadaha.
Discussion.
Etat.
This.
Varnaya,
describe.
Naha,
unto me.
Unto me.
Prabhu.
Prabhu.
O my Lord.
O my Lord.
Translation, the king asks Sukadeva Goswami, where and when did the meeting and discussion take place between Saint Vidura and His Grace Maitreya Muni? Kindly oblige, my Lord, and describe this to us. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Exactly as Shanaka Rishi inquired of Suta Goswami, and Suta Goswami replied, so Srila Shukadeva Goswami replied to King Parikshit's inquiries. The king was very anxious to understand the meaningful discussion that took place between the two great souls. So it's a short purport. I'll just read the next text with its longer purport. Text 4. Anayal parto dayastasya vidrasyam alatmanaha tosmin vareyasi prashna sadhu vaddo paprin vidaha. Saint Vidura was a great and pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his questions to His Grace Maitreya Rishi, Rishi Maitreya, must have been very purposeful, on the highest level and approved by learned circles. So purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, questions and answers among different classes of men have different value. Inquiries by mercantile men in a business exchange cannot be expected to be highly purposeful in spiritual values. Questions and answers by different classes of men can be guessed by the caliber of the persons concerned. In Bhagavad Gita, the discussion was between Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the Supreme Person, and the Supreme Devotee, respectively. The Lord admitted Arjuna to be His devotee and friend, Bhagavad Gita 4th chapter, text 3, and therefore any sane man can guess that the discussion was on the topic of the Bhakti Yoga system. Actually, the whole Bhagavad Gita is based on the principle of Bhakti Yoga. There is a difference between karma and karma yoga. Karma is regulated action for the enjoyment of the fruit by the performer. But karma yoga is action performed by the devotee for the satisfaction of the Lord. Karma yoga is based on bhakti, or pleasing the Lord, whereas karma is based on pleasing the senses of the performer himself. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, one is advised to approach a bona fide spiritual master when one is actually inclined to question from an elevated level of spiritual understanding. A common man who has no interest in spiritual values has no need to approach a spiritual master just as a matter of following fashion. As a student, Maharaj Parikshit was serious about learning the science of God, and Sukadeva Goswami was a bona fide spiritual master in the transcendental science. Both of them knew that the topics discussed by Vidura and Rishi Maitreya were elevated, and thus Maharaj Parikshit was very interested in learning from the bona fide spiritual master. Om Ganat Timidandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur of Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Maha. So what you're seeing here is the different levels of discussions that take place in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean, of course, we do have Maharaj Parikshit talking or questioning Sukadeva Goswami, and then we have the discussion between Suta Goswami and Shanaka Rishi, and here we have a discussion, because Suta Goswami had been there when Maharaj Parikshit had been questioning Sukadeva Goswami. So he's just repeating. And then you have another level here of Maitreya Rishi talking to Vidura. So sometimes you have discussions within discussions within discussions within discussions in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very interesting. So here we find the questions about questions. Actually, that's what's dealt here in the translation. So Prabhupada says elsewhere, and the Bhagavatam says elsewhere, that everyone is asking questions in the material world. Even the birds, you know, when you hear the chirping of the birds, chirp, 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 just like we were talking the other day about how it's so beautiful to hear the chirping of the birds. You weren't there for that. That was up in Brisbane. That it's so beautiful to hear the chirping of the birds, but what are the birds chirping about? The question is, you know, where is food? You know, where is my wife? you know, birds get married. So, and just like I was watching a very interesting video about a fish the other day, because fish generally don't talk, you know. But they communicate in different ways. They also ask questions. And this fish, it was so interesting, what spent, I think, 3 or 4 days making an elaborate diagram in the sand. Did you ever see this video? No, no one's seen the video. I mean, it would look like a beautiful mandala he was making in the sand. And his question was, where's the female fish? I mean, I was just shocked. It was an interesting video. I mean, it was just like, it was so beautiful. So this fish had to go into the sand with his little fins and everything like that and shape it this way and that way. And it was a perfect mandala. And he was just asking a question. Because he wanted to attract, you know, the fish that had the nicest mandala would attract the most beautiful fish. Female fish. Now, this is going on. This is going on. And, you know, when we travel in the airplane, then in the airplane magazine, there's all these, like, dating services they advertise. You ever seen that? They said, we'll put you together with the perfect person like that. And then, you know, even ISKCON has, what, VaishnavaMarriage.com or something. It does. You know, someone's looking for a wife or a husband, they put their name out. And so they're asking questions. I mean, it's all right for devotees. They should be married. So it's a good idea. Or we're asking questions, where is prasadam? You know, when's food? So all these questions are based on eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, right? The four principles of animal life. I mean, obviously we have to ask about, you know, where am I staying? Sometimes I ask the question, where am I staying tonight? I mean, am I staying with Amritasha or in the street or where? And I also asked the question of your father, is the house done yet? So it's just, I mean, questions and answers are there. And of course, those questions, even if I'm asking, is the house done yet, it's related to Krishna. But still, the important questions are basically about spiritual life. And one has to actually be humble to ask a question to be able to hear the answer. Like we see with the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, when they first approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they said, people say that we're very educated, but we don't know who we are. You know, please, KME, you know, tell me who I am. And so that was an important question. And these are the questions people need to be asking. I mean, that's a question, that's real education. Like Prabhupada, I remember I was at a lecture at Prabhupada, it was in Gainesville, Florida. And Prabhupada was saying there's so many departments here at the university, you know, to answer questions. There's a department of science, there's a department, you know, an art department, music department. Where is the spiritual department at the university, you know, to answer the important questions of life? Another example that Prabhupada oftentimes gave is that just like if you have rented an apartment and the lease is up and you have to move out, you know, you should be asking the question, where am I going to go? So in the same way, guess what? The lease is running out on this body. There's like, Isha is very young, right? And she's thinking, I will live for a long time. And I'm thinking, I won't live for a long time. But Prabhupada, when he was questioned by a reporter, and the reporter asked him, you know, how come there's so many young people here? Because Prabhupada was the only adult in the whole Hare Krishna movement at that time. The rest of us were teenagers. So Prabhupada one time said, that's the age for education. But another time he says, how do you know, how do you determine what's old? And the person was actually bewildered and probably said, how close you are to death. And he said to this young lady, how do you know you are not closer to death than I am? In other words, how do you know you're not older than me? The lady was completely bewildered when she heard that answer of Prabhupada. So the point is, we should be asking the questions, you know, who am I? What should I do about life? How can I transcend this material world? And these are the important questions. Of course, other questions have to be asked just to live in the material world. That's all right. But the primary questions, that's why we have to hear the philosophy every day. You know, sometimes we become so much wrapped up in our other activities, you know, service and even service for Krishna, like whether deity service or whatever service you're talking about, we become so wrapped up that we don't hear regularly about Krishna. And therefore we lose our perspective in life and our priority is all wrong because the important question is, how do we become Krishna conscious? Because if you don't become Krishna conscious, Bhagavatam says, what? Notpadiyad yadi ratim shama evi kevalam. This is a very interesting verse. Like, if you don't develop a taste for hearing and chanting, the whole thing's just a waste of time. Shama evi kevalam. You're just spinning your wheels. Like if a car gets stuck in the mud or the snow or something like that, and you just put the... We have that happen a lot. I don't know if any of you experienced that. And if you don't have four-wheel drive car, then your car gets stuck and you push down the accelerator and then you don't go anywhere. You just dig yourself further deeper into the mud. And you've experienced that?
We don't have that.
You don't have that? You don't have that problem?
Well, just in the mountains.
In the mountains, yeah. But I've gotten caught many times because we used to be in the jungle. Yeah. The jungle, you know, the forest, whatever it is. So we would be in the truck, and then just like, then you get deeper and deeper, and finally you have to call for the tow truck to pull you out, right? And so that's like it. If we don't hear regularly about Krishna, the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna Katha in different ways, then whatever we're doing just digs us deeper into the material world. So this is really the essential thing. And then another point in this verse, apart from that, is Prabhupada is giving a very clear distinction about what karma yoga is, and also sort of hints about what bhakti yoga is, so I'm going to tell you all the difference between them. Of course, karma, many times we call people who are not devotees karmis, right? That's not an accurate designation. You can't call, or you could do anything you want, but technically, you shouldn't be calling someone who eats meat a karmi. They're a vikarmi. See, there's differences in the words. Karma, or being engaged in karma, means following the Vedic injunctions, so you elevate yourself gradually, and then you go to heaven. And I think very few of the people out there are doing that, are they? I have very rarely met anyone doing that. Generally, they're doing karma, which means activities, but they're not fulfilling what the karmakanda practice or karmakanda path is, which is to follow the Vedic injunctions to elevate yourself materially. So they're vikarmis. So when you go out, you should say, you are a vikarmi to people. Or a kukarmi, that's another name. Do you understand? Of course, people get offended. So it's better not to be calling people names in any case. It's better to see that everybody is a devotee of Krishna, but they've just forgotten. So that's a nomenclature that the devotees use, which is really bad. Karmis, demons, rakshasas, malechas, yavanas. What else? Dogs, camels, asses. We had one devotee who would quote the Bhagavatam, he'd go on Sankirtan, and he said, you're all like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, to people in general. And he didn't do very well. There's actually that verse. Those who do not glorify the Lord, swavidvara hostra karaya samstuta purusha pashu nayat karna pato upeta jatunama gadagrasha. Those who don't glorify the Lord of the gadagrasha, the Lord of the club, that's Krishna, then they're like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. Yeah. But you don't say that to people. It's not helpful for preaching Krishna consciousness. You know, you're like a hog. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is funny. I got very upset with my mother the other day and said something like that. I was talking to her, and she said something like, you know, why don't you eat chicken? I'm sure some of you may have experienced that with some of your relatives. You know, why don't you eat chicken or goats? And I just couldn't control myself. I said, because we're not cannibals like you. Can you not just say that to your mother? And she said, but I like chicken. I said, no, you don't like chicken. You like to kill chickens. And that conversation ended very quickly after that point. She changed it. I mean, she didn't. She didn't reject me because she's my mother. You can get away with it with your mother.
No, I don't think so.
Well, your mother doesn't eat chicken, I hope.
No, she doesn't.
But so anyway, we don't want to lose control like I did with my mother when dealing with people. So just treat everybody like family members and, you know, sisters, brothers, everything like that. That's first class God consciousness. So anyway, so one who's executing the path of karma is following all these Vedic injunctions. You're doing all this, all the different activities like the Griha Pravesh. And there's so many rules and regulations. You know, I just got a message from one of the disciples today about one of the karma practices. They're doing this housewarming. And anyway, there was something that was a little questionable. I said, don't worry, just chant Hare Krishna. You know, just like, I don't have a clean sari. That's all right. You can still have a housewarming, you know. Something like that. I said, we're not into the karma, because karma conscious stuff has to be done very specifically at certain times of the day, certain phases of the moon, a certain number of days after someone dies. I mean, it gets really complicated if you want to do it properly. I mean, just like, and devotees sometimes really get into this, like with not just karma kanda, but with astrology. I don't know if you heard me give the example, but one time we had a GBC meeting and the chairman was really into astrology, you know, karma kanda stuff. And he said, we actually can't start the meeting until 11:06 and 30 seconds. You know, so it'll be auspicious. So what happened is that he wouldn't let us in the meeting room. He stood outside at the door and he had this watch, you know, watch or El mobile phone as you have nowadays. And he said, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, open the door, start the meeting, honey bow. And that was actually one of the worst meetings we ever had. I mean, so that's the karma process, that you really have to just do everything, you know, precise, chant all your mantras like perfectly without any deviation. And, you know, we don't worry so much about that. Like Prabhupada even said one time that astrology is for karmis.
Maharaj, it's a general question, not... When constructing this house, people say, vastu, are you doing vastu?
Well, they can adjust some vastu, but, you know, basically you chant Hare Krishna, just...
That's what I...
It takes care of all these things, you know, because the holy name, it's mentioned, Niyamena Tishtan. There's no hard and fast rules. And those rules that are mentioned in Lord Chaitanya Shikshashtaka are the Karmakanda rules for chant. You can chant anywhere, everywhere. You know, sometimes devotees say, well, you shouldn't chant on an airplane.
Why?
Because it's impure. There's a lot of demons next to you. And they're eating chicken. You know, you ever travel on an airplane, they're passing the chicken over your head to get to the person. So they said, you can't do any spiritual practices. Okay, so then if you die, the airplane crashes, you'll be in trouble. And they say, you can't chant Hare Krishna when you're in the bathroom. Of course, you don't chant your japa in the bathroom. But yeah, you should.
You
chant Hare Krishna anywhere. That's Niyamena Tishtan. There's no hard and fast rules. But in the Karma Kanja practices, there's hard and fast rules. And so Prabhupada here is distinguishing, which is actually a fact, between karma, the Karma Kanja practice, and karma yoga. Yoga means to connect yourself to Krishna through work. Yat karoshi yadashnash nasi yajahoshi nadasiyat yatapashashi kantiya tat karoshwa. Madarpanam, whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, it should be done as an offering to me, Krishna says. That's karma yoga. But karma yoga is not the highest either. The highest is bhakti yoga. Because Lord Chaitanya actually told Ramananda Roy that karma yoga is good, but it's, you know, not really that high. Because many people are doing karma yoga for other purposes other than to satisfy Krishna. But when you mix karma yoga with bhakti yoga, that's the highest. Right there. So this is, these are some of the points here. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
Just a question about karma yoga.
Yeah.
When devotees go to work and we offer the results of that work, money to Krishna.
Yeah, that's good.
Is that karma yoga?
That's karma yoga.
Okay.
It's karma yoga. But karma yoga can also be part of bhakti yoga. So it's also bhakti yoga. If you're doing bhakti yoga, if you're chanting rounds, following the rules and regulations, doing your sadhana, then that karma yoga is also bhakti yoga. So in other words, you can have karma yoga without bhakti yoga, but you can't have bhakti yoga without karma yoga. Because automatically, if you're doing bhakti yoga, you're doing everything for Krishna too, in addition to the sadhana. But if you're not doing your sadhana, you're chanting, following the practices, then it's not bhakti yoga anymore. It's karma yoga. If you're offering everything to Krishna, let's say you don't chant, you don't read the Bhagavatam, you don't follow the nectar devotion, but you know, you're giving your money to Krishna. That's karma yoga. Without bhakti yoga.
Even if you give it to Krishna to please him, but you're not doing
it. Yeah, well, it has it, like Prabhupada said, it has some bhakti in it. It has bhakti. It's mixed. I mean, obviously it's mixed with something to do with bhakti. It's, you know, maybe karma misra bhakti. But when one is doing bhakti yoga, it's completely, then his goal is actually to love Krishna. And so in the process of having your goal to love Krishna, he's also working for Krishna and giving the results of his activity. You understand? Oh, I get the end of class. That means I should end. So, that's interesting. Does everybody understand that? The difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga. When you do bhakti yoga, you automatically do karma yoga. It's just part, you know, it's part of bhakti yoga. I mean, you can do as one of these diagrams, you know, like the intersecting circles and everything like that. So if bhakti yoga, then karma yoga. But if, you can't turn it around and say, if karma yoga, then bhakti yoga. Not necessarily true. You know, if you understand syllogism, you know, logic. But, you know, we obviously, if someone's doing bhakti yoga, chanting their rounds and dedicating their life to Krishna, they're also working for Krishna simultaneously.
But even if somebody is not chanting, but still doing,
offering them,
giving donations to the temple.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. You know, it's not precisely bhakti yoga, but it's karma yoga mixed with some bhakti. And the bhakti is probably like mixed bhakti. But when one has as his goal to become a pure devotee of the Lord and performs the sadhana practice, and, you know, the Vaidhi bhakti and then Raghunuga bhakti and then ultimately Bhava bhakti and Prema bhakti, then he's engaged in bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga starts when one is engaged in the regulated practices of cultivating love of Krishna. But if someone is offering everything to Krishna, it's fantastic. I mean, we encourage people. Because everyone's on a different level. That's why Krishna says, you know, whatever you offer, whatever you give away should be done as an offering to me. But ultimately, he says in the Gita, you know, what? Man mana bhava mad bhakto. Always think of me. Surrender to me. Now, ultimately, that's the instruction. Not only give the results of your activities, Krishna. I mean, you can, you know, like you have Satchanarayan Katha, right? That you give something to Krishna, what am I going to get back for this? It's a business exchange. But, you know, you may have some bhakti there too. It's not that it's all or nothing too. There's gradations between karma yoga and bhakti yoga too. I mean, it's not as clear as I may be explaining it. You know, someone may be following the process of bhakti yoga, but he's simply thinking, I'm doing this because I want money. So really, bhakti yoga means I'm doing it because I want to love Krishna. I want to please Krishna. That's bhakti.
Nothing in return.
Nothing in return. It's not, you know, nyabi lashita shunyam ganakarma navatam. It's not, even if one isn't pure, but at least that's my goal, that's bhakti. You know, I have all these other desires, you know, that's right, but my goal is to love Krishna and please Krishna, my spiritual master. That's bhakti yoga right there. But if I'm just offering to Krishna because I'm expecting something in return, or, you know, I like Krishna, he's nice too. Yeah, but I like other things too, you know, whatever. You know, other things are just as important as Krishna, that's karma. It's all mixed, it's varieties. Varieties of mixed devotion. Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
I've been asked questions that you say Krishna is like our father.
Yeah.
Because we are all his children. It's just a natural relationship. Then why is there like so much worship? Like, as a father, Krishna is expecting that worship. Like, why, as we being his children, all this worship? Deity worship and all that, like,
yeah. Yes. Well, deity worship is actually in the mood of parental relationship with Krishna. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, many people approach the deity, you know, as the father, but usually the Vajari has a parental relationship. You know, Krishna needs his food now. You can address Krishna. I mean, you really don't start dressing your father. Mm-hmm. And of course, maybe he's 95 years old and can't dress himself, but anyway. But other than that, it's not really, it's more, but even, actually it's interesting, even if your father's 95 years old and you have to dress him, you're becoming like the parent of your father at that mm-hmm. point anyway. You have, your relationship has become transformed to parental, to your being the parent, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All right, now. You know, like if someone gets really old, they have Alzheimer's disease, you don't let them out the door, you put the gates there. It's true, they actually have to do that for old people sometimes. Because if they go out the door, you may not see them again.
Yeah,
dementia. They may walk like 3 blocks away to Kohl's, you know. Just like yesterday, I was walking past Kohl's, you know. I didn't buy anything. But I, you know, I just saw that there was a store there, I was noting everything. But I came back. Like it was time for the dinner program. And where's Maharaj gone? And then the police called him. We found this guy wandering the streets. then you'd have to take care of me like your son, you know, or something like that. But other than that, the relation, the pujari's relationship with Krishna is parental.
Hmm. So it's not something Krishna is demanding. It's out of love.
Yeah.
Feel
that. Yeah, it's out of love. Of course, people who are just coming to take darshan, they approach Krishna as the order supplier. Generally, they're asking Krishna for something. But, you know, the reason we have to realize that Krishna is like our father is to have some gratefulness towards him because he's doing everything for us. And in the beginning, we do ask him for things. I mean, Dhruva Maharaj was asking him for something. Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. So he was approaching Lord Vishnu as his father. But later on, he understood he was servant. That was Dhruva Maharaj's ras with Krishna, with Lord Vishnu, servitude. So, yeah, in the beginning, yes, we need that. He's doing everything for us. We have to owe everything back to him. But then as we progress, it's Krishna, you know, Krishna needs this. It's not that I need him to keep supplying me, but he needs me to keep supplying him. And that's a higher level. Like the gopis. The gopis cook for Krishna. Radharani cooks for Krishna. She's gotten the benediction that whatever she cooks will make the person healthy. Durvasa Muni gave her that benediction. You know the story. So, any other questions or comments? Yes.
Maharaj, just on the point of, you know, you were saying that, you know, even if you do a Griha Pravesha and you don't do it quite properly, just chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
It'll be alright.
Yeah.
Is it even necessary to do any of those things, or just?
Well, actually, those things actually solidify or keep culture together. You got to have cultural items, even though, you know, they may not be completely transcendental. still you need cultural items to for the unity of a culture. If you don't have different things that happen at different times of people's lives, you don't have a culture. I mean, in the West, of course, we have birthday, happy birthday to you, you know, you belong in a zoo, or whatever. So, did you ever hear that before?
Yeah.
You look like a monkey, and you are one, too. You know, you heard of that?
Like
yeah. We have...
So many variations.
So many variations. So, we, you know, in the West, we have these different, like, life things, you know, different times in life, graduation. Mm-hmm. You put on, I don't know if they do that here in Australia, but they put on a cap and a gown.
Yeah, same.
And they play, da, 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 da. Do they play that song? Mm-hmm. When someone gets graduated and then they turn the little tassel, the cap
yeah.
around. They do that here, too?
Yeah.
Really? You have a good culture. So, So, I mean, you need those things to keep a culture together. I mean, like you have your Australian flag, right?
Mm.
So you need something like that to, or, you know, certain groups have a certain ring that they wear, or, you know, a side handshake, or... All those things are cultural items. But ultimately, spiritual items, Hare Krishna mantra takes care of everything. Just like recently, I went in, we had a housewarming in Brisbane. One of my disciples just built a new house, and we just walked in. The day after it was finished, they're still painting it, but anyway. So we walked in, and the whole housewarming is they just fed the Vaishnavas, and that was nice. There was no fire sacrifice. There's no chanting, you know, different mantras other than Hare Krishna. But, you know, he's feeding the Vaishnavas, feeding the spiritual master, you know. That's good. That's good. So, but as far as possible, we should institute these technicalities to keep the culture together. Otherwise, it's really messy. It becomes like a hippie civilization then. If you don't have, you know, the Griha Pravesh, if you don't have the Namakarana, and other things like that, because, you know, obviously if we were all pure devotees, yes, you know, forget about all those different external things. You wouldn't need them. But because we're not, you need these things. I mean, just like in Fiji, they have the priti bhoj before the marriage where all the ladies dress up and show each other their outfits. You ever heard of that before? One time I walked in on one by accident. And I was just like shocked. Everyone looked like a deity. Do you ever see that? Yeah. They're dressed up with gold and the rings. I thought all the deities are walking around. Yeah, they're comparing each other's saris. Let's see your sari. You know, and the men weren't there. The men had run away, so. So anyway, you need those things. I'm not, you know, it's just whatever to keep a society together. I mean, technically, you could have one of those Vedic marriages where you just exchange garlands, you know, the Gandharva style, or Rakshasa, where you kidnap the girl, but it's not going to keep a society together to do that. So you need like a 3-day marriage, where people take it seriously. You know, if you just exchange garlands, Kali Yuga people wouldn't even take the marriage seriously. And they think, well, tomorrow we'll just get rid of our garlands and get a divorce or something like that. So you need these external things. Pure devotees don't. Like, traditionally when a Vaishnava took sannyas, he'd cut off his siga, get rid of his Brahmin thread, nothing, no sacrifices, no yajnas, nothing. Because the sannyasi was not even allowed traditionally to touch fire. You know, so that's a traditional there, because traditionally a sannyasi was a paramahamsa, a babaji. That was the sannyasa order of life. I doubt if the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, after they went to Vrindavan, did fire sacrifices. I mean, they guided their household disciples how to do fire sacrifices. So you have, like, when one is, like, completely transcendental, all they do is, like, Haridas Thakur or Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, they're just chanting Hare Krishna. But if If a devotee, even if they're transcendent, completely transcendental, but they have to set an example for others, will do other things, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, anyway, so, yes, we should do these ceremonies. The answer is, whenever possible, we should follow the details of the ceremonies and do them. I mean, not do too complex things, like 20-hour Griha Pravesh, you know, and the poor people are starving to death, you know, because you're doing this fire sacrifice and using 200 kilos of ghee, you know, in the meantime. But, you know, a medium standard, simple standard. All right, anything else? Oh, what's that?
Just a question. You were saying earlier that, you know, we should inquire submissively from the guru, and that's the way to attain proper knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of something you said earlier, that, you know, you get the mercy of the guru. It reminded me of when you were saying that the murti of Prabhupada is in so many different temples.
And yeah.
Saying that doesn't mean Prabhupada himself is in 600 different temples.
Prabhupada is Jiva's soul. But Prabhupada's presence is manifest. Prabhupada's potency is manifest. And one can communicate with Prabhupada. Lightweight. Yeah, Prabhupada's presence is manifest by Krishna's mercy. But to say that Prabhupada is in every one of the, in a sense, like just sitting there and aware of what's happening in every temple. I mean, you'd have to say Prabhupada is God to say that.
Yeah.
He's there. Yes, the murti is Prabhupada. But also, you know, you can't say that in every temple, you know, 2,000 Hare Krishna temples around the world, or in everyone's home, then Prabhupada's just watching you be a nonsense. You know, he's not God. But he's present. You know, just like, yeah, the spiritual master is present in his picture too, you know. So how many pictures are there of Prabhupada? Unlimited pictures, you know. So, you know, if they told me if I become a spiritual master, I have to be present in unlimited pictures, you know, on the internet and Facebook. obviously I can't do it. So what's the question?
So the way you described it that time was that Prabhupada himself, like in that sense, is not personally present everywhere, but his mercy is present.
His mercy is present, and you communicate with Prabhupada, is aware of your prayers.
So how exactly do we define mercy? Like, even if you inquire submissively from the guru, you get his mercy, or if Prabhupada's present.
Mercy is usually, like if you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards you. In other words, it's, you don't really deserve it, but you've done something. Mercy, I mean, I can't think of, Prabhupada didn't use the word causeless mercy very often. I don't even know if he used it. Maybe he did, I haven't looked it up. But, because mercy always has some cause. It's yayatamam prapajante tam sataiva pajamiham. I mean, you have to make at least a little step towards Krishna before you get some reciprocation. So there is some, anyway, there's, I don't want to say cause, but there's some reason you're getting the mercy and someone else isn't. Right? Must be some reason. I mean, if mercy was really causeless, then everybody would either be sitting here or on the same level of Krishna consciousness. So there's a reciprocation there. Causes mercy. I mean, people think by touching the guru's feet they can make spiritual advancement, and they don't have to do anything else. They would just like to cut off his feet and take the feet with them and get rid of the mouth. You know, they want to keep the guru filled with prasadam so he doesn't say anything. They say, "I want you to eat more." The guru says, "I'd like to give you some instruction." "Oh, it's time for eating." You know, they want to take his socks and make hats out of them or something like that. I've had disciples who've done that. They make a stocking hat out of the socks. They say, "Oh, I feel so spiritual." Of course, it is powerful to put dust and everything like that, but one has to surrender ultimately. I think we have to get ready to go soon. We're going to Seisha's house. Okay. Yeah, I got
this. Prabhupada thing, I have personal experience. He reciprocates.
Prabhupada reciprocates, yes. Yes. Prabhupada is aware of your prayers, he reciprocates with you.
Yes. I relate one story in Vrindavan. I think I told you. Let me repeat for this guy. I was in Vrindavan, and these devotees, they take in Prabhupada for darshan, from his samadhi to have a darshan. And after a few days, I thought to myself, I think I better do it too. But how can I do it? And while I was at the samadhi site, I was praying to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, if you think that I am doing a service to your movement, service to you, if you think I am fit to take care of you to have a darshan, and instantly a person came down, I don't know him, and he pointed, can you take
Prabhupada? Can you take Prabhupada, yeah. Yeah,
I thought, you must be taking another one. Then I gave me a chance. I thought it's a fluke.
Messenger.
And then now the second time, not the same year, second time,